Welcome back to Cultivating Hearts. Once again, we're all here with bright, shiny faces and excited to be part of this with all of you listening. I think Tara is going to have some hard questions for us. So when we were talking about Jesus questioning and the Samaritan woman questioning, who had kind of a questionable background. So in the line of questioning, I think Tara might have some questions.
Yeah, I think so. So we're looking at the woman of the well, and the fact that Jesus is the one that began the conversation with a question. So before we get started on the actual Bible story, on in between break of the recording from last week to this week, several said, this is my favorite. And so I want to know, just real quick.
I didn't say that.
I know Shelley didn't say anything. This wasn't her. But
you're out of it.
Sandy and Tanya were both like, this is my favorite. I want us to share, why is this your favorite Bible story? What is it about it that just connects with you?
Okay. I love the fact that Jesus breaks all barriers
Okay.
Goes across, even to the fact that going to a Samaritan woman was unheard of by a Jew. And I'd say the other thing is the barrier of she had sin. Mm. I mean, and it was known.
Yeah.
And he still went right to her and revealed who he was to her.
Yes.
And then, boom, the whole city was changed because she obediently went and told everybody about him.
Mm. That's crazy. A sinner went and the whole city was changed.
Yeah. And they listened to her.
I love it.
And listen, Sandy,
to I love it.
Tanya kind of said at the end, when she said the Christ is coming, she knew that, but he revealed himself. He says, I am he. You know, and he reveals himself to us all the time, but sometimes we don't listen.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so that's a good opening for us. And so what I want us to do as we're thinking through, we ended last time dialoguing about the fact that Jesus was the master at putting questions before us, before the people he spoke to. And that if we really take his questions and analyze his questions, we will discover that if we apply them to our own lives, they reveal quite a bit about our personhood, our character, everything. And so I want us to go back, and we're at the very beginning where Jesus looks at her, and she is walked up to the well at 6 p.m. at night when no one goes to draw water. Mm-hmm. She should have done that early in the morning. She's so ostracized that she's doing it when nobody would be at the well. And yet here we have Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, sitting there resting because he's tired, waiting for her because he knows he has this divine encounter waiting to happen. And he just looks at her, which is beyond comprehension. A man to talk to a woman in public, a man to look a woman, and then to ask her a question, will you give me a drink? And we were ending the session last time, and that the very question he poses to her for him to have physical water, it is because he's revealing to her what? We ended last time. So what were we talking about? Why did he ask her to give him a drink?
It would reveal what was inside of her and her need.
Mm-hmm. And her need is what?
Living water.
I love it. Now, I want us to go and look, because Jesus asked her a question. She makes an obvious statement. And what does she say to him? She says what? She makes an obvious statement, and then she'll ask him a question. And it's...
Is that when she thinks he's a prophet?
She looks at him, and she says, you're a Jew?
At the beginning. Yes.
And
talking to me, a Samaritan?
A Samaritan. Mm-hmm. She states the obvious.
Yeah.
You're Jew, I'm a Samaritan, and I'm a woman. All right, so are you talking to me?
Yeah.
There's nobody else at the well, but that's almost kind of like you could see it, you know, the conversation. Like, I would love to see her eyebrows, you know.
Yeah.
You know, did she dare to look him in the face when she said this, or was she looking down at the ground? I would love to have been able to see.
Definitely puzzled.
Yeah. And then she asks him a question. What does she ask him?
Why are you asking me for a drink?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is it that you ask me? Why? You know? And so here he's put a question to her.
I like this one.
Dared to ask him back. Now, what does that tell you about how we should feel in our conversations towards Jesus?
That we can talk to him all the time, you know, and question.
Is it okay to put questions before
Absolutely.
Jesus?
Absolutely. And he knows anyway what's in our mind. You might as well bring it out.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like being honest with ourselves that, you know, we can have questions. We can have doubts. I mean, we can pose those so that, you know, we hear it and understand it in ourselves. But then it also allows us, I think, to hopefully open our hearts and minds.
Right.
To the answers.
Oh, yeah, because I think everybody has doubts. You know, and they say they don't. I'm like, seriously? Even the disciples did.
I heard somebody the other day on the radio. I can't even remember who it was or why or what. But they said, you know, before Christ, I never doubted.
Because you knew the answer to everything, right?
But once I came to know Christ, all of a sudden I had doubt.
Yep.
Because I would battle between my flesh and the spirit. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow. And I can't remember what pastor it was. I can't even remember. I was just listening, you know, to one of the programs and stuff and everything. But I thought, you know, it is so true. Uh-huh. Because before Christ, we're so confident.
Yeah.
Oh, we know, blah, 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 blah.
We're so self.
Yeah. Because we're being led by our flesh.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, wow. And so here she puts the question back at him. And at this point, Jesus begins to reveal things about himself. Mm. Now, I think the whole first show, we did an awesome job in showing the first thing that Jesus reveals about himself is his heart. Mm-hmm. He has a heart for people. He has a heart for all people. Okay, so I think we have debunked anything that says culturally that Jesus would say, no, not you.
Right. He's not prejudiced.
No, right. He is not. And so we've seen his heart. But now he begins to reveal, and I wrote it down, I called it the earthly gift. All right, so let's see what he says about himself. Jesus answered, and what did he say to her?
If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Is that where you were going?
Yes. Yes, Sandy. That is so good.
Water.
If you knew, if you knew the gift of God.
And who asked you. If you knew who asked you.
Which the gift of God. Who asked you?
So he's like stringing her right now. He's tapping in.
Yep.
If you only knew, because she thinks she knows.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right. She thinks it's not, she thinks it's a prophet instead of Christ.
Okay.
At that time, doesn't she?
This is
so
clever.
Something, yeah.
And this is so clever. And you guys, all right, I don't even remember when or where or how I was taught this, but somewhere in my training, somebody told me, if you want somebody that doesn't know Christ to want to know him in you, don't give them everything right at the beginning.
Mm, good point.
To put something out. And so I have an example in my life in Russia where I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to put this to work, okay? We were going through, and Russia was the hardest mission trip I've ever been on in my life. It was hard. And it was just God was really revealing to me a lot that needed to happen within my heart. And about loving, about serving, about sacrifice. I mean, it was a major shedding time in me. And for whatever reason, at the university, the ESL program, the English as a Second Language program, invited three of us in to come and share culturally. We were not allowed to say God, Jesus, Bible, Holy Spirit, anything that would reveal we were Christians. Mm. We weren't allowed to. And somebody somewhere had showed me and said that if you want somebody, don't give them the whole, give them part, because that's what Jesus did, how he helped them process. And so when we went in, they said, well, what do you do? And I said, I write. I left it as incomplete as I could, following after the model of what he has here, and just waited to see what would happen. And so invariably, like two or three questions later, this man in the back of the classroom at the university raises his hand and he says, I have a question for her. And he says, well, what do you write about? I was like, yes, God.
They opened it
yes.
up.
and when they asked the question, the rule was, is we may answer truthfully then. Mm. That was how. But we could not bring it up. They had to bring it up. And I said, I write about the Bible. I left it as well, incomplete. And two or three questions happened about music and food. And then all of a sudden he says, why do you write about the Bible? And that flung wide the door for me to speak. And in that particular question opened up where a 45-minute dialogue occurred. I was able to give the gospel, to share what I write about, and they continued asking more questions. Found out that for 70 years at that point, they hadn't even thought to use the Bible culturally in Russia.
Wow.
Learned a whole bunch of stuff about the cultural differences about the Bible. And it was all from someone at time in my life said, based on the model of how he interacts with the woman at the well, he gives her truth, but he gives it in layers. Mm-hmm. And then, so as we dialogue with one another and posing things, put out the question, because it reveals the heart, what's going on inside, give a truth, but don't give the whole, so that then they will want to ask questions back, so that you then have permission to give more. Mm-hmm. And I have been blown away how God uses that every time I have been willing to follow through with this from this passage. So it's just one example that I want y'all to think about practically within your lives. So he says to her, if you knew the gift of God. So what is he saying to her by if you knew?
He's declaring she does not know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right? Right.
It's like there's something out there. What do you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean if I knew?
Right.
Yeah. And then he does what Sandy says. He emphasizes what?
Who it is that gives, asks for your this drink.
Yeah. Who it is that asks of you.
Yep.
And then he tells her, what would you have asked him then? Give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You would have, if you'd have known.
He would have given it.
Yeah. You would be asking me for water, not me asking you. So he's revealing to her his earthly gift, living water.
Uh-huh.
What is it when you hear the phrase living water? What does that conjure in your heart and mind?
I think of eternal life. I don't
know
that's
why.
The Spirit, Jesus. Too.
That's what I kind of think, the Spirit.
Okay.
It's just... and what the Spirit can do for you, how he lives in you.
Mm, that's good.
And like, you know, at the times when your heart needs to be softened, and he'll crush it a little bit,
or a lot,
and fill it with all the godly things.
Yes,
that's so good. Okay, I love how you guys are thinking spiritually minded. I want us to think physically.
Okay. So living water has life in it. There's stuff that is feeding off of one another.
What happens if I don't have water?
We die.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
It's essential.
It's essential. Mm-hmm. It is. We are desperate for water. And you think of nations that are struggling, and that I have missionary friends that sell the little straws that filter or the wells and... because without the water, they cannot survive.
The clean water.
I was going to say
clean.
Clean.
Right.
Clean water.
Yeah.
So purified. And
purified.
It's, you know, it's pure, just like the Holy Spirit
so
is.
Right.
And now take that with what you just said spiritually. The living water spiritually of being purified.
Cleansed.
If you'd have known.
Mm.
Okay. And so then she says what to him?
You have nothing to draw with.
She's
and the well is deep.
Physical.
How are you
going
to get that water out of there?
Yeah.
She's still back at the...
Okay. I love how she is so obvious with her statements. Wait a minute.
How do you do that?
A Jew. Yeah. I'm a Samaritan woman. All right. Wait a minute. Okay. And now here she's like, what are you talking about? She's still thinking physically.
Yeah.
Which is the reason why I brought us back. When you guys are thinking spiritually, because most people, when they hear this, are also going to be thinking still physically.
Mm.
You have nothing to draw with. You're just sitting there. You're just a man in his robes with his sandals on his feet. How can you give me something that's living water? You know, she's trying to grasp mm-hmm. what he is saying to her. Uh-huh. And so he is taking her from that which is on the physical plane to get her to thinking on the spiritual. Right. And it's very, very easy for us to remain on the temporal. The temporal would be that which is practical, physical. Mm-hmm. But God always wants to take us into the spiritual. And I, you guys are a part of the radio ministry and part of that, because that's one of the things I love and respect about your hearts, is because you guys are spiritually minded. Mm-hmm. That's why we're here. But we have to remember that when we're talking with people about God, they have not yet gone to the spiritually mindedness that we have, just as the woman at the well. You have nothing to draw with physically. How is this possible? You can't do this. And then she takes it even further. And, I mean, this is bold.
Yeah.
What? Are you better than my father, our father, Jacob? The one who gave us this well? Who fed his family with it, with the water, and his sheep, and took care of the crops? You're better than him? I mean, she is really thinking physically mm-hmm. here. And then Jesus takes it deeper. And then what does he say?
Oh, I love that one. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again.
Okay,
but
pause there. Let's don't go but. Let's stay off the but for a second. Let's say here, right here, it says, everyone who drinks water from this well, you'll be thirsty again.
Because physically we are. We drink it, then we're thirsty.
You guys can't see this on the radio, but I have my water bottle. Shelley has her water bottle. I don't go anywhere without my, Sandy has hers. I'm sure Tanya has hers down beside her. All of us have water with us.
We have our water.
I don't go anywhere where I'm not carrying water.
I hear you.
Because mm-hmm. being parched is not pleasant.
It's not pleasant.
No, it isn't.
Our minds don't work.
We get third. No, they don't, do they, Sandy? And some of us a little slower than others. We need it more than others. Thirst is a continuous thing.
But now, I mean, I think this is a key verse, because he reveals mm-hmm. her heart here and her need.
He does reveal her heart and need.
Mm-hmm. Of
thirst.
Where she's been, who she's been trying to be fulfilled, like fulfilling that thirst.
And you have tagged it, and so what we're going to do is we're going to take that tag, Tanya, and we'll say, you guys have to come back to get that part, because we just looked up, and Shelley's waving her hands. We have 40 seconds left. So we have examined his heart connection with all. We've looked at his earthly gift of living water, and now we're going to go into next time examining the eternal gift, the eternal gift of water that is never ending. Right. It is a wellspring of a fountain that is continuous. And so Jesus wants to take us from the physical to the spiritual, so that as we are dealing with that as physical, that we can have the eternal well working in us to process through this life. Mm-hmm. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. Come back so you can learn about the eternal part. God bless.